Senator, I think maybe people haven't heard from you in a while. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, I've been teaching national security at the University of Notre Dame, and have also been working with some national security think tanks and practicing law. And so what I've been trying to do is focus on how I can teach the next generation about keeping our nation safe and making sure that I try to stay involved in moving our nation forward.
Well, let's talk about this relief bill that's going down right now. In fact, as we speak, they are making some last-minute revisions and are getting ready to take a vote in the Senate. The next big hurdle, if that passes in the Senate, is going to be getting it through the House. What do you see as a barrier to getting that done?
Well, I think earlier today you saw the governor of New York say that the bill was woefully inadequate for New York, which creates unique challenges for Senator Schumer, who was the person in the Senate who negotiated the bill and is from New York. And so I do think it's going to move forward to the House. And before the discussion was about, and this gets a little technical, what was called unanimous consent, which would have been the members don't have to come back. If two members are on the floor and they call for unanimous consent and there's no objection, then it passes. I don't think that's how this is going to work now. I think they'll have what's called a voice vote. And so all the members don't necessarily have to be there. Some of the members do. And it's called on a voice vote where you go, all the yays, please signal. And they say, you know, they shout, and all the nays, please signal. And, sometimes those when they're called, Chris, it sounds like it's all no's or all yays, and it's called the other way. But it might be cooked a little bit, but we'll find out.
Yeah. How do they measure that? I've always wondered that when they do a voice vote. Do they go back later and take a tally?
If there's an objection where they say, you know, it is very, very clear that you called it that the yeas were in that there were more yea votes than nay votes. And then they can say, listen, we want a recorded vote. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I think that the likelihood is that those members who wanted to say they objected can say they objected, as opposed to being part of a unanimous consent.
Okay. Well, you had said, or at least from the information that I got in my email, that maybe there was more that could be done, or you were indicating that you thought there was more that could be done. And the first question that came to mind is, this has grown from originally just under $1 trillion to then $1.5 trillion and now to $2 trillion. What more could be done? Because this is already going to, you know, it's going to be a monumental bill.
Chris, I will tell you that there is plenty in this bill to work on and to move our nation forward. I think when I said there's more that could be done, what I meant is I wanted to make sure, for instance, that for assistance to companies like the airlines, some of the airlines, Chris, in the past had, just in the past few years, instead of saving money for a rainy day like you or I do for our family, sent out all their money in stock buybacks. And so they came to the government and said, look, in true, through no fault of their own, passenger tickets have dried up. There's nobody flying. And we need government assistance. And that's what I wanted to make sure, is that government assistance wasn't then taken by them and used for more stock buybacks. I wanted it to be used to make sure that they're giving their workers assistance, that they're keeping their airline flying. And hopefully it'll be a lesson for them in the future that when you make some profits, you put some away for a rainy day. You don't try to juice stock numbers and make yourself extremely vulnerable to the markets when things go sideways, which Chris, always there seems to be a cycle where at some point that happens. And we're in that cycle right now. And so those who had been saving for a while and putting money away are in a lot better shape.
Do you see that as a bailout of sorts if they do get money?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the some of the companies would be gone otherwise. But then you say to yourself, for small businesses, I'm all in favor of trying to help them, because a pizza shop in Bloomington or a car wash in Martinsville who have put their heart and soul in the business for 20 years, employing people. And what they're getting is primarily a loan to help them tide over through a very, very, very tough time. And so what I wanted to make sure of was that most all of this is in loan form, that the terms are good terms over 10 years in most cases, low interest rates, but it's to help those in the small businesses who have every day put their heart and soul into it, who every week at the end of the week, Chris, the last person who ever gets paid is the person who owns a small business. If there's anything left over, they get it. If not, they're out of luck for that week. And so, I think it's really important we set that up for the small businesses.
Do you stay in touch with Senators Braun or Young?
Not specifically Senators Braun and Young, but I stay in touch with a significant number of senators that I talk to on a weekly basis and on a very regular basis. Yes.
Yeah, I guess the reason for asking that is, how can you be influential in, seeing some of these ideas through?
Well, what I try to do is a number of senators, they can call me on various issues. I was known as someone, for instance, who had done an awful lot of work on trying to prevent military suicides. And so I hear from folks, on a number of occasions on that. Chris, I was on the Financial Services Committee in 2008, 2009, when we put the last package together, the package that helped keep our auto industry going and saved our banks. And in effect, also almost got every single dollar back. So we were able to save the businesses and get the money back for our taxpayers. And so what we're dealing with now, not the exact specific of coronavirus disease, but of a collapsing economy. I worked very, very hard on the Financial Services Committee to help put programs in place to provide economic stability. And so I've had some experience in this.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you may want to comment on?
Just that we really need to make sure in Indiana we not only get to the other side economically, and we will, but that we fight for every one of our citizens, that we make sure that appropriate testing takes place. I think the governor was correct in calling a pause, in effect, from March 24th through April 6th, a stay-at-home order. In fact, I think probably it might need to extend at least past Easter, to at least past the week after Easter, during that week, because the one thing that kills this virus, Chris, is if the virus can't have that contact between people. It's almost like starving it of oxygen, that the oxygen this virus needs to spread is contact. And if we are distancing and if we are staying at home, then we're starving this virus of the oxygen it needs to continue, and it runs out. And it's the kind of thing that during that period, you can kill it. If you keep bumping along month after month after month, it just keeps going. And so if it's like a gasoline or an oxygen, that once there's no gasoline in the tank, the car stops. Once there's no spreading for the virus, it dies. And so that's why I think it was important to do the stay-at-home order. I think at the end of the day, you'll probably see Indiana even extend it maybe an additional week. And I think that's very important.